Welcome back to Ed Gaines Radio on Sirius Satellite Sports Byline Network. Final thoughts with Rick Bucher from ESPN, the magazine, on the NBA. Ben Wallace, how big an addition in terms of confidence throughout the organization has he brought?
He certainly brings confidence. He certainly brings a work ethic and a great example for their young bigs. The question is, at $60 million and $14 million per, is it going to be enough to win them a championship? Because that's what everybody had, or get them out of the Eastern Conference. And I dare say it's not. My feeling is they're paying him for what he accomplished as opposed to what he's capable of accomplishing. I don't see him winning another four Defensive Player of the Year awards now that he's in Chicago. And they were already the best defensive team in the league. So as I see it, there has been a sea change. And we saw it last year already. You always look at the finals and who won. It's the same for every sport. That's always the clearest indicator of where the league is going. And for the first time, you had teams in the finals that were better offensive teams than they were defensive teams. If you look at defensive field goal percentage and just general the general makeup of the team, the Miami Heat won the championship because Pat Riley decided, I'm going to trade away my defensive players, my Eddie Jones, my Rasheed Butlers, and I'm going to get Antoine Walker and Jason Williams in here because the league is now an offensive-oriented team. I need to be able to score whether Shaq is on the floor or whether he's not, and that's going to be the hallmark of my team. And so, as a result, he has a championship. Dallas improved their defense, but their hallmark still was their offense. Their best player is an offensive player. So my question is, you know, did the Chicago Bulls go by the old blueprint by paying the freight to get Ben Wallace, and ultimately with Ben Gordon and Nocioni and a couple other players, Chris Duhon, all those guys up for new contracts? What's it going to cost them? They're not going to be able to re-sign all those guys as a result of what they're paying Ben Wallace. So this story has not come to an end. Simply signing Ben Wallace, if it doesn't get them a championship, then the question you have to ask is, was it the right move?
Was it worth it? And for me also, I'd agree with you with this caveat that, yes, that definitely you see it with the Suns, the shift towards offense and an energy game, a game where you have to outrun the opponent, but also ultimately in the playoffs, you better have somebody to stuff the middle, not just Kurt Thomas, but the reason the Suns have not, and most people still don't believe they have what it takes to win the big championship ring, is because they don't have that defense in the end. So, yes, you'll get into the playoffs, but then you'll lose, just like in football, if you don't have a great defense.
But you know what?
Thanks for joining us, buddy.
One, they need shot blocking. You need a shot blocker, and that's what Kurt Thomas doesn't give you. But my argument is not that the Phoenix Suns are lacking in defense as much as they don't go to the free throw line. My feeling is if their offense was run in a way that allowed them to get to the free throw line, they could still, their defense is good enough to get the job done. The problem is they don't get to the free throw line, and that short circuits their ability to score consistently. All that jump shooting ultimately can come back and bite you. And at the end of the day, I believe that is a bigger factor in the reason that they haven't gotten it done than whatever they may be lacking at the other end of the floor.
Even if they shoot 90% of the free throw line. Well, thanks for joining us, Rick Bucher. As always, we'll see you in a few weeks, but awesome job covering the NBA, and good luck safe in your travels.
You got it, Nick. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. Rick Bucher from ESPN, the magazine, and now we're going to shift back to the NFL with Leonard Dawson back from Miami. How are you? Leonard, are you there? He should be there. Make sure that Leonard is where he needs to be. We're going to talk about some. There were so many interesting games yesterday, not necessarily because we would have predicted it that way, starting off with the Jets and the fact that a man, Genie, is sort of sending a message to Bill Belichick, sending a message that the Jets are not the same old Jets, that they have rethought their commitment to winning, they have rethought the way they're going to win, and on the other side of the ball, it was a lack of execution on the part of the Patriots at home. First time in 4 years that the Patriots have lost two games in a row. Leonard Dawson, how
yes.
are you?
Hello.
You're back, you okay?
I'm
Hello.
Okay. Hello.
You weren't enjoying listening to all that NBA talk, were you?
Yes, I was.
Well, tell us about the Miami game, because I thought that the Miami win at Chicago, no matter how surprising, no matter how much their defense showed, I thought that Kansas City was up to the challenge, although time and again, if you look at history, Kansas City and other teams have a lot of trouble beating Miami in Miami.
Well, I think you have to take a look at a couple of things. The weather is different down there. It's warmer than it is here in Kansas City. But the main thing is, who is playing for Kansas City? Kansas City had some new people on that offensive line, and they had problems adjusting to a very good Miami defense. I thought it was going to be a tight ball game, and it ended up doing that, but I did not expect that Kansas City would take the ball in their first five possessions and go three and out. They did not convert a third down play in the first half. So they were 0-for-6, so the Miami defense really stifled them, but they had new people out there. They had Kyle Turley was playing right offensive tackle. They had also Chris Bober was playing left offensive guard in place of Brian Waters. So they had some new people in there in that offensive line and just did not protect the quarterback and did not open holes for Larry Johnson. In fact, they were lucky to be just 3-point difference in that ball game, because what happened late was Miami decided to do a flanker reverse, which I thought was not a very intelligent thing to do, and it was a fumble, and Jared Allen, defensive end for Kansas City, picked it up, raced about 30 or 40 yards, getting him in position where they could score a touchdown. Otherwise, that game might not have been as close as it was.
Well, it, of course, fuels the things we talked about last week, Len Dawson, which on Thursday, if Damon Heward, who's been so impeccable with going into the game, 11 touchdown passes, one interception, if they continue to do well, it's not a controversy. What about now?
Well, he did not play well, but I say this for Damon Heward in that ball game: the pass protection was not good at all. He got sacked three times, Nick, but he got hit probably about eight other times when he was attempting to pass. After he got rid of the football, he got leveled. So he didn't play all that well. He wasn't real sharp, but he wasn't bad. It wasn't his fault that they didn't win that football game. It was the fault of the fact that they just did not play the way they have been in the last couple of weeks. And why? I knew the answer to that. I'd have all the coaches in the league calling me up, because you never know when a team is really going to be up and playing hard. The tackling was not what it should have been in that ball game, and that hurt them. A couple of penalties at inopportune times, that hurt them as well. But you go back to Miami, I give them credit. They played very well defensively, and when you play well defensively, you keep your team in the game. What they didn't do, and that is turn over the football, because before that ball game, Joey Harrington had 9 interceptions. Well, it didn't have any interceptions in that ball game yesterday, so the only turnover was a fumble by a wide receiver, so on that reverse play. So Kansas City did not have an opportunity to take the ball away from Miami.
Joey Harrington, 7-for-17, third down conversion. So Miami seems like, in this always unpredictable NFL season, they're the latest flavor of the month. Let's move on. We're joined by Sam Huff to talk about a big confrontation. Sam, do you think that was perhaps the championship confrontation in the future for the NFC?
No, I don't think so, because when you talk about championship, this is not the year. I don't think there's any way, shape, or form the Redskins can get into the championship. They're just not playing good football. They're not playing good football on defense. Last year they were number 2 in the National Football League in defense. This year, number 30th. And after Philadelphia yesterday, they may be number 31 in total defense, and that's not good. And they're just 3-6. And the New York Giants are 6-3. The Philadelphia Eagles 5-4, and Dallas 5-4. So the Redskins have had 217 points scored against them in 9 games. And man, and they've only scored 165. So the stats don't lie, right? There it is. You know, when you have give up that many points and not scoring on offense, you've got a big problem.
Len Doss, actually, I was really talking about your old team, the Giants in Chicago. But Len, as you look at our friend Al Saunders' problems with matching that old system to a team that now has lost really its only successful running back in Clinton Portis with a broken hand, it looks like it's over for the Redskins.
Well, I tell you, when he was in Kansas City, he had Priest Holmes, who was setting all kind of records. And it took really Al Saunders about 8 or 9 games, really, to get his groove when he first started calling plays, because he first started calling plays in Kansas City. He hadn't done that before when he was with the Rams over in St. Louis. So, you know, he's got a heck of an offensive mind, but the problem is he doesn't have the people to implement that offensive game plan. And what Sam was talking about, you know, if you're being outscored almost 2-1, you don't have a chance, because you're going to have to be saying, well, wait till next year.
Well, guys, when we come back, we're going to be joined by, since we always call this Monday morning quarterback, and of course Sam Huff likes to eat quarterbacks for lunch, we're going to give you a second sandwich with Jim Kelly, and we're going to talk about some of the rest of the games around the NFL on Sports Byline USA, Sirius Satellite Channel 122. It's Head Games Radio. We'll be right back.